I'm reasonably confident that our building regulatory system is fit for purpose and appropriately safe in respect of these fire risks. But when you have a disaster of this scale, you want to kick the tyres and recheck.
That was the Minister for Building and Housing, Nick Smith, on Radio New Zealand's Morning Report, speaking about building materials in the aftermath of London's Grenfell Tower fire. Since then, Auckland City Council has confirmed it is investigating at least two tower blocks for possible use of a similar flammable cladding. This has prompted representatives of the construction industry to speak out about wider concerns they have about quality controls in New Zealand. This includes the Specialist Trade Contractors Federation, which represents a range of industry associations. I talked to a spokesperson, Graham Burke, and started by asking him just why we have these standards in the first place.
Standards are part of society developing a benchmark for what's acceptable as far as safety and quality for products and services, and it's part of being a developed nation at the end of the day. Otherwise, we're relegated to kind of third world status if we just allow any old product or service to be issued out to consumers.
And how often do standards have to be updated?
Standards, New Zealand actually have their own set of rules, and basically I think it's a maximum of 10 years they're meant to be reviewed, but they're really meant to be kept current, so they try and keep them up to date within 5 years. But there are a lot of standards that haven't been reviewed for well over 10 years, and some of them have become obsolete and should actually be removed. But there are other standards that are sitting there that actually need review that are still being used, but they're kind of outdated and they're languishing for lack of funding.
So you mentioned funding. So is that the main reason for standards slipping?
Yes, I believe it is. There is high demand, but the model that standards are run under is actually a non-funded model from government. So all standard development is meant to be full cost recovery from whoever's developing them. So that may sound fair enough, but industries actually provide people free of charge to do all the work. And the standards organisation basically does the editorial and management side of that. So, for a small industry, just about every standard, just for a joint standard, the fees they're talking about are often well over $20,000. On top of that, the participating organisations are flying people to Australia. Often owners of small businesses are giving up time, which they're incredibly short of, to actually do the development work, fly to Australia, participate in the meetings, and then Standards New Zealand then wants them to pay those costs. If it's a New Zealand standard only, those fees are usually well in excess of $100,000 each. Once again, the industry representatives have to pay all their own costs to participate, do all the actual work, and then Standards New Zealand owns the document and sells it back to those same people.
So it's fair to say you'd like to see Standards NZ provide more financial support?
Look, what needs to happen is a law change so that the government will actually fund standards, because standards are there for the public good. The other thing that actually needs to happen, and it's every bit as important as the development and review of standards, is that the various regulators actually need to enforce them. And there has to be a means there to actually make sure that people who sell products that are supposedly up to New Zealand standards and aren't, there needs to be some serious penalties and repercussions. There's one that I'm aware of at the moment with plumbing, where there've been an issue with these flexible hoses that connect vanity units and what have you to, taps on vanity units and what have you to the pipes in the walls. And people have been using substandard flexible pipes. Now, they save maybe $3 or $4 each. And these things have been bursting. And for whatever reason, they always seem to burst when people are away. So somebody will come home from a weekend away and they've had water running through their bathroom and house for the duration of their time away, causing significant damage. And of course, insurance companies have to pick this up, assuming the people are insured. But for the sake of $3 or $4 difference in price, these things are being fixed. Often the consumer is the last person to know about it. So there needs to be serious penalties on people actually providing these products. Our main objective with this is twofold. One is to get the government to actually start funding standards, which will require a law change. And number two, to actually start enforcing in a meaningful way. so that consumers are actually protected in this country as they should be.